Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Oh, welcome to Voices of Women. I'm grateful to be here. You know, it's December and it's the holiday season. And for me, that's a time to be grateful for the people in our lives. And I just want to give mention to the water protectors at Standing Rock. We have some WOW community people there. And so I want to remember all the people that are there, especially next week. They're supposed to be leaving December 5th. We don't know what's going to happen. So let's send them love and light for protection for the people that are there. So reach out, also, and see how you can help. I know there's lots of posts of supplies and things that can be sent to them. Even you can even order at a store. Just calling up the store and they'll deliver it. So there's lots of opportunities to support our people there. It's an interesting time right now. I know many people are on the edge, feeling on the edge of what's going on, what's happening in our country. For me, that means it's important for us to gather with other supportive people and talk and share your feelings, especially women, and be strong for each other. Go to gatherings like Women of Wisdom. We're going to be probably having lots of interesting discussions there this year. But it's a place where we can strengthen our stance for women. We're stronger if we stand for something rather than against. So I encourage you to speak up about what you want for yourself, for others, and for our country. It's not a time to sit back and let others do it for us. You know, it's kind of being a call to action at this time in our lives. And so that's my spiel for today. I've been kind of talking about it in our newsletter, and I know many, many people are feeling the same. I just want to mention we've extended our early birds because things have been kind of in turmoil. We have a couple special early birds. They're going to go through December 16th, and that's for Nikki Scully and Normandy Ellie. They're a two-day Egyptian Oracles workshop. It's February 15 and 16. And also Caroline Muir, who's author of Tantra, The Art of Conscious Loving, has a workshop February 17th. So those, we have early bird pricing through December 16th. So now on the show, I'm continuing the journey of introducing you to our WOW presenters who are so gracious to share their gifts with our community. My first guest is Reverend Judith Laxer. She's presenting a workshop. It's called Athena, a Goddess of Wisdom for Our Time. Reverend Judith Laxer is a modern day mystic who believes that humor, beauty, and the wonders of nature make life worth living. She's a priestess of the divine feminine, a keynote speaker, and author of Along the Wheel of Time, Sacred Stories for Nature Lovers. Judith has dedicated work to restore the balance between the feminine and masculine energy in our culture. So, welcome, Judith.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me back on your show.
Yes, you're not new to our show. I've been on many times.
Or and to the conference. Thankfully.
Yes. Oh, well, yes. Judith has been at the conference, I think your first workshop was 1996, somewhere around there. So a long time, 20 years. And every year since then, you have been presenting at Women of Wisdom. So we're grateful.
I think I even hold the record after you, Chris.
Yeah, I don't present every year, but yeah, and Deborah Kopp-Chapin, she's been here since like 94. So, yeah, anyway, we're bringing all these old family people back this year. It's kind of fun. So tell us your story, you know, a little bit of your history, how you came to find your life purpose. I think we're all kind of sitting with this question, like, and not even life purpose, like, what's next for us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I want to comment on what you said about, you know, in the newsletter and also just now at the beginning of the show about us being a stand for something rather than a stand against something. And that is, you know, that's such a subtle distinction, but it is huge. And I think because, you know, all of us in the blue left-hand coast of this country are still pretty much reeling in shock, I think, of what's gone on in with the election results, that, you know, it just stirs up such intense emotion. And because we didn't get what we wanted, you know, it stirs up negative emotion. And it's very, very easy to go to the place of everything is bad and wrong, everything is negative, you know, we're all going to hell in a handbasket. And it's very easy to go there. And I don't mean to say that we shouldn't honor the truth of what we're feeling. We should. And I don't think that we ought to just try to toss those aside and feel better as quickly as we can. I think this is a wake-up call, like you said, and we need to heed it. And I also think that moving forward, we have to move forward toward what we want. So I really just want to acknowledge that distinction, because it's really a beautiful one. And I think it makes the difference between feeling, you know, sad and upset and a little hopeless and feeling completely disempowered and helpless.
Right. And we need to have that hope. We need to have
hope. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that keeps us energized. And I do think that, you know, the time, like you also said, the time of us being just kind of complacent and letting others do things for us, those days are over. It is time to step up into active citizenship for sure.
Well, I want to get into your workshop because this pertains to it, because Athena, you know, you're doing a workshop on Athena. So who is she? Because she's an energy that we can kind of grasp to help us through this time.
Yes. And, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to do this workshop is because Athena is a goddess of wisdom and she's a goddess of strategy, but she's also very much maligned. And that is because the patriarchal story or overlay of the story of her story is that, you know, she was born from Zeus's head rather than from her mother's womb. And so we can look at that archetypally as, you know, she's her father's daughter. And so she is a stand for the patriarchy. And that is, like I said, a patriarchal overlay. But the truth of who Athena is, of course, she was born from her mother. But what happened was Zeus swallowed her mother because he was afraid that he would be supplanted. And so she was born from his head, or she sprang in her armor, fully fledged, out of his head, as the story goes. So when we peel back that layer and we see that what really happened was Zeus, representing a patriarchal mindset and culture, swallowed up the ancient wisdom of the great mother goddess. And, you know, that's the story, isn't it? That's the pervasive story. So when we peel back those layers and we find the truth of who Athena is, she is a strong goddess for sure, and she is a warrior goddess, but she's not a warmonger, you know. And because she comes from his head, or it is said that she sprang from his head, she is a strategist. And, you know, the ancient Greeks used to pray to her for victory in war, but not because she's bloodthirsty, but because she's a mediator and she's a strategist. So why I call this workshop A Goddess for Our Time is because I think women need to understand and sort of step up into the place of using our heads a little bit more. Not, like I said, not to discount our emotions and certainly not to discount our intuition, but it must also be strengthened and tempered by our intellect. We have to think clearly now. We have to let our emotions motivate us, but they can't drown us any longer. Mm-hmm. So I thought Athena would be a good goddess to learn about and for us to find where Athena lives within us so that we can take the motivation and the emotion and our passion that is deep inside and find strategies to enact them for the betterment of the world. Just a small little subject, you know, for the betterment of the world. But
yes. Well, you know, and you, you know, you wrote this summer, way before, you know, what we knew was going to happen. And it's so important. And it speaks to, you know, it's something we can tap into, creating, strengthening our leadership, you know, women's leadership. Yeah. And there's a call for women to, you know, be leaders, to be on the equal, you know, equal plate. You know, we're actually more than 50%, I think, as women, is the statistics, and yet we're not represented, you know, in our country. Luckily, you know, we live in a state that has been well represented, you know, women senators and women in our local governments. We're not afraid to elect women here, but that's not the case all over, you know.
No, it's not the case all over our country, and it's certainly not the case all over the world. I mean, we still have miles to go before we reach true equality between the genders, true balance between masculine and feminine. And because Athena has both, you know, we all have both feminine and masculine energy, of course, but she really is very androgynous in a way. And I think in our kind of gender fluid culture that is emerging, that androgyny can encompass and hold both the emotional and the rational. And I think that balance is the kind of leadership that we need. We need to follow what our hearts are telling us, but we need to do it in a strategic way rather than just, you know, moving forth all emotion with no plan. That doesn't get you very
yes.
far.
Well, and what's important is, and you mentioned in the beginning, is, you know, being not discarding our feelings. It's important to know our feelings, not get carried away with our emotions. They're different. And feeling,
different.
You know, it's feeling from the heart, and it's bridging that mindset, you know, the bringing that Athena, that, you know, that the mindset you're talking about, and the mental capacity and our intellect, down into the heart, and we're moving forward with both. And so we have compassion for everybody and all that. Mm-hmm. So it's very important work. And I know we're going to talk more about it when we come back from a break. And I'm, you know, I just want people to check out your workshop at the conference by going to the website at womanwisdom.org. Judith's presenting this on Sunday, and it's an important topic. I've been working on leadership. It's something we promote at Women of Wisdom, and we have a thing called Circle Leadership. But there's many people out there doing similar things of embracing that feminine aspects of leadership. So we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk more about that.
Are you sick of feeling overworked with no motivation? Take a break from the daily grind. Life coach Nicole Eisler is here to provide a healing journey of optimism. Passionate and caring, Nicole is no ordinary soul. Her dedication to helping everyone has no limit. Witness the power of positivity. Tune in every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific for Positivity Party Radio with Nicole Eisler on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit BigDreamAwakening.com.
Do you want to achieve your goals? Do you want to strengthen relationships with others? Do you want to improve your financial status? Colette Marie Steffen is partnering with Mark Kettenbach to bring you an energetic upgrade online experience. Unfold and develop your full potential. Visit energeticupgrade.com today for more information. That's energeticupgrade.com.
Beyond being this amazing neurologist, inventor, author, Dr. Dan Cohen has been called to look at technology and look at personal and spiritual development and merge these together. As technology uses the healing and psycho-spiritual effects of synchronized sounds, vibrations, electromagnetic fields, and how that interacts with us in our nervous system in what we're calling the Soltech chair.
The Soltech Lounge induces profound levels of relaxation that transition over time into deep meditative states. The synchronized sound, vibration, and magnetic field induce these states. The subject doesn't have to work at it.
To learn more, go to soltechwellbeing.com. That's SOLTEC Wellbeing.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to The Michael Shane Show the third Tuesday of each month at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com and connect with the ascended beings to raise your vibration and manifest the life you desire. Get ready to receive healing through the transphysical mediumship of Reverend Michael Shane and the ascended beings. Visit MichaelShane.com. That's M-Y-C-H-A-E-L, Shane.com, and call 425-971-6632 to schedule your full healing session now.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I'm here with a woman wisdom presenter, Judith Laxer. She's presenting a workshop that's called Athena, a Goddess of Wisdom for Our Time. And we've been talking about that, what that means, who Athena is. So first, Judith, why don't you share your website and the things that you offer people here in Seattle?
Sure. Well, my personal website is judithlaxer.com, and that's L-A-X-E-R.com. And on there, you can find the personal services that I offer in my private practice as a spiritual counselor and a psychic and a hypnotherapist and a teacher and all that good stuff. And I have an office by Green Lake right in Seattle, so I'm pretty central. And then you can go to GaiasTemple.org, and that's spelled G-A-I-A-S, as in Sam, temple.org. And that is my ministry, and we are 16 years old. And Gaia's Temple is a house of worship for the Divine Feminine that meets once a month. In fact, we meet this coming Sunday, December 4th. And that is a house of worship for those who want to honor the Divine Feminine. And we, Earth, Mother Earth is primary goddess there, but I do also talk about specific goddesses in the worship along the way. And it's quite a beautiful thing. And it's open to everyone. Everyone is welcome, men, women, children, families. So it's a beautiful place. And we meet at the Shoreline UU. So that's also pretty central, a little further north in Seattle. And so those are the two websites where you can find out all about what I offer.
Okay, great. And also, just so you know, like in January, you'll be meeting, you're traditionally the second Sunday of every month, so
yes,
people can mark their calendars.
The second Sunday, right. This month it happens to be the first Sunday, but typically it is the second.
Yeah, starting in January it will be. So we've been talking about feminine leadership, and let's talk a little bit about the archetype of Athena some more, and maybe some examples of who, you know, sometimes it helps to know, oh, that's so-and-so. That's like so-and-so. I can relate to that.
Yes. Well, you know, I do want to bring up Hillary Clinton because of this. And I'll just say as a disclaimer ahead of time that this really isn't, I don't mean to talk, to sing her praises. Well, I do personally kind of sing her praises. But this is not to try to convince anybody about whether she was a viable candidate or not. What I want to talk about is that she is very much an Athena archetype. And that is why I believe she was so maligned. And what happened with regard to her, from my perspective, is everything that we see happens, or often happens, and hopefully will be changing as we continue to evolve and raise our consciousness, to women who step up into leadership. So we know that as leaders, typically, you're on the front line. So if there's a hit to be taken, you're going to take it. And boy, howdy, did she take some hits along the way. And not necessarily about her platform or her policies or what she wanted or talked about in her candidacy, but personally about her hair and the jacket she wore or how much money she makes at a to give a speech like none of these other presidents or people of, you know, heads of state have done, and no one's ever blinked an eye. And it's that misogyny, and it's misogyny is not only in men, it's in women also. And we really saw that here by how many women just hated her. And I think some of that in an unconscious level is just their own personal projections. If, you know, if I can't be powerful in my life, you can't be powerful. If I can't step up, you can't step up. And it's so sad to see that. But I do think a lot of that is what happens. So the same sort of thing I talked about Athena before, that people malign her because they say she's standing with the patriarchy. She's too much like Zeus, her father. And it's the same sort of thing that they said here about Hillary. She wasn't soft enough. She has heart, you know. And yet, if she were or if she did, they would say she's too weak and she's not strong enough for the job.
And too emotional.
And too emotional, right, which is also something that we get as women, like that's something wrong with us, that we are emotional, we're in touch with our heart.
Yeah, so it's like it's a no-win, you know.
It is a no-win, but how it becomes a win is for women to begin to support each other rather than try to tear each other down. And that is the internalized misogyny that happens, you know.
Mm-hmm. How we turn, even towards ourselves.
How we turn it toward ourselves. You know, we've been taught that line, don't worry your pretty little heads, for so long that I think we have come to believe that we can't really be discerning and think for ourselves. And then when we see someone who can think for herself and has a platform and has done whatever it takes to get there to be the first viable female candidate in the history of this country, she is just taken down because, you know, we don't like her hair. I mean, I know that wasn't the only reason, and I know that, you know, not everybody likes every candidate, and there are plenty of in my opinion, you got to be a little crazy to be in politics anyway. So I know, and nobody's perfect, absolutely. But when I looked at the things that were being said about her and about her personally, as opposed to her platform and her agenda for the country. I mean, as a public servant, as someone who stood, made a stand as a feminist for women and children for over 40 years, and yet all she did was take flack for it. And we see that often in with women leaders, that by virtue of their sex, they are projected upon way beyond what should be happening. And that is just so sad to me.
Yes, and I just was thinking, like, I wonder how long it'll take for another woman to put herself through those gyrations to.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping the very next time, you know, in the 2012 Mayan prophecy of the return of the divine feminine, you know, and even though I am sad with the results of this, sad, shocked, mortified with the results of this election, I can't help but see that right after that prophecy of the return of the divine feminine, the very next American election, we had a viable female candidate for the first time. So we do see progress, mm-hmm. that is actually happening, but we've got miles to go before we sleep. There is so much work to do to normalize feminine leadership in this world.
Mm-hmm. And probably one, I think, even something that would be more impactful is locally, you know, to get women in local leadership, local politics, local, you know, social agencies or whatever, you know, places where women can make a difference. To think locally right now, you know, it's done, you know, nationally. But there's a lot that is done locally and where we can make an impact. It impacts us even more, and people don't realize that, of what happens locally.
Exactly, and that's the power of grassroots movements anyway. You know, I talk about this in Guy's Temple a fair amount, that, you know, in one square foot of lawn, there is probably millions of blades of grass. And, you know, that's the power. It's like what happens in our connection person to person right here, right now. You know, we can't just... I wish I could, but I can't just wave my magic wand and change the big picture. You know, no one of us is going to do that. But how are you interacting with the people around you? You know, where is the consensus there? How do you find agreement when you don't agree? You know, where is the tolerance and the acceptance so that we can move forward in a healthy way? Those are the big questions, you know. And I think that happens when we combine our passion and our wisdom with clear thinking and strategy, because we can't feel our way somewhere at the expense of our brain. just like we can't think our way there with no heart. Mm-hmm. It has to be both, and they've got to be balanced.
Well, and I think we're co-sponsoring an event that's happening this Sunday. It's in West Seattle. A group of people are coming together to do a workshop, and it's coming together to brainstorm how do we counter some of the racial things that are happening, you know, the escalation of stuff. How do we deal with when we see something in public that's, you know, hurting somebody?
Yeah.
How do we speak up or and in a safe way, because it can be dangerous sometimes to speak up.
Sure.
And we don't know if someone's carrying a gun or there's that fear. But what happens is people go into fear and don't do anything.
Right.
But we were talking about that because somebody was spit on Seattle, you know, a couple people of color, and nobody did anything. Even people of color, it was a mixed group in this, I don't know, this cafe or what it was, where the place was.
Yeah.
But they were on the radio talking about it and how even people of color did. But it's that fear of, oh my God, what just happened and what do I do about that? And I was with some friends and we were talking about, well, you know, how about just standing for the people who got spit on, not against the guy who did it, but for showing support to them, like, we don't agree with this, and we're, you know, or just going up to them and saying, I'm so sorry. We're standing with you. So being creative and how, instead of freezing, you know, how can we, and so anyway, this workshop is at 1:30 to 4:30, and it's transforming our fear and our pain and grief. I forget the whole title, but into power, you know, and to get together and talk with people. And so that's happening. It's on our newsletter. Actually, I'll post it on Facebook. It's not in on our website, but I'll post it on Facebook if people are interested. Because I think those are the things to do, you know, that can make an impact. Well, we have probably 30 seconds left. What do you want women to come away from this workshop that you're doing?
I want women to come away with several things. The first is to recognize that until we give each other a hand up, a leg up, a boost, like you were saying, we don't necessarily have to do anything all that much other than stand with each other and support each other. I mean, very old thing of sisterhood is powerful means more now than ever, especially with this misogynistic regime that's coming into government. You know, so I want them to come away with knowing that we are safe to support each other. It's not a scarcity mindset that if another woman has something, that means I don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one. And then the second thing is that, you know, we can use our heads clearly, and that the idea of melding our emotional, passionate intuition with strategic thinking and planning is the best way that we can move forward. And that might be different for everyone.
Yeah. But in doing it together.
Know.
Well, we have to close. Thank you so much, Judith.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Yeah. Anyway, check out her website, judithflaxer.com. And the Woman of Wisdom.org website for the conference. Her workshop is Sunday, February 18th. We're listening to Voices of Women. We'll come right back, and we're going to hear from Chiyomi Yoshida.
Join in on one of the most life-transforming adventures in personal expansion and world service. In each of our upcoming shows, you're going to have the opportunity to join thousands as we focus healing energy to elevate and balance our world. This is a chance for like-minded individuals like you and I to join forces with lightworkers all over the globe as we light the way for peace, harmony, and a world driven by love. You'll also learn about magical innate abilities that you can develop and use to make your dreams come true. Joy Elaine, author of The Joy Chronicles, invites you to join her and millions of others working with the Galactic Masters, Angels, and the Ashtar Command as they assist humanity and planet Earth to achieve their ultimate destination of ascension. For more information, visit joyelaine.com. That's joy, ELAINE.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Are you feeling stagnant or blocked in your love life, career, health, or finances? Experiencing difficulty focusing or setting and achieving goals? Tune in to Spiritual Diagnostics Radio with psychic visionary healers Carol Dorian and Suzanne Evans. Discover the cause and effect of unwanted patterns in life. Tune in every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit spiritualdeed.com.
Tune in to Dynamics of Diversity Radio, scripting the new narrative for immigration with leading experts Kripa Upadhya and Steve Tanijo on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will remove the noise that often accompanies discussions on this topic and share a new perspective on the dynamics of immigration and diversity, ever reminding us that together we are all at the core of innovation, excellence, and positive change. Visit OrbitLawPLLC.com for upcoming topics.
There are so many resources out there for meditation, but did you know that Atana's Heart Earth Healing Meditation is available for you for free? Yes, that's right. You can receive this free healing meditation today from Atana Badili. All you need to do is visit his website, atanamethod.com. That's A-T-A-A-N-A-method.com, and sign up. You will receive your free meditation instantly. That's atanamethod.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and now I'm going to introduce you to another one of our Woman of Wisdom presenters, Chiomi Yoshida. Chiomi is an educator for over 40 years, most recently as senior dean at the Barbara Brennan School of Healing. She has a private energy healing practice in Seattle and uses her hands-on healing skills and understanding of communication and group dynamics to facilitate clients and groups on their transformational journeys. Chiomi is giving a workshop on Sunday as well, February 18th. It's called Remembering Your Sacred Self, Embracing Who You Truly Are. So welcome, Chiomi.
Thank you, Chris. It's good to talk with you again.
Yes. Well, tell us a short little bit about your journey toward, being a healer and what that means to you.
Well, I've always been someone who kind of walks on the edge, and I've always been interested in what I call the mystery. And so, I was sort of hesitant initially because it's a very different world to walk into, the healing world, the energy world, given what our culture teaches us about what reality is. And so I ended up attending an introductory workshop in New York and somehow was supported in going to the school, which is a four-year training program. And then I ended up teaching at the school, which has been a wonderful experience. It's an amazing community. And I just love the transformational work. It's just very exciting to me. So that's part of my journey.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, so we want to talk about the topic that you're having at Woman of Wisdom, remembering your sacred self, embracing who you truly are. What does that mean to you?
Well, primarily when I'm speaking about spiritual self, I'm speaking about ascending to a higher level of consciousness, particularly beyond just seeing ourselves as physical beings, that we're more than just flesh and blood, and that we're more than what we can, see, smell, taste, hear, feel. And by being able to raise our level of awareness, our level of consciousness, we have we develop a different perspective, a fuller perspective in a sense, and ultimately we can make better decisions, not only for ourselves personally, but I think ultimately for the planet, because our planet, you know, obviously is facing a lot of challenges right now. And so the higher consciousness we can function from, I think we can make much better choices for ourselves and the planet. So that's part of what I'm hoping to share at the workshop.
Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned about we're more than physical beings, and sometimes we kind of forget that. We're so three-dimensional here, you know, we're this physical body and our minds and everything, but you're talking about something that's beyond that. And how do we tap into that? How do we tap into that sacred essence of ourselves?
Well, part of it is kind of having a different understanding of our foundations, and that we are essentially energy and light, and that the physical body is simply the densest form of energy, and that it actually rests on what many of us know as the aura, what the scientists might call the human energy field, which is made up of the chakras and the energy bodies or subtle energy bodies. And beyond that, there's a third level that both of those rest on, and that's what at the Brennan School we call the Hara dimension, and martial artists also talk about Hara and how your power comes from being able to be in your Hara, being aligned with the energies of the universe. And it's really the level of intention. So when people talk about intention, intentionality, they're really talking about being aligned on that level to create what you are here to create, whatever your contract, your spiritual contract might be, your purpose for incarnating. And then the Hara dimension, all three of those, the physical body, the aura, and the Hara dimensions of our energy fields, rest on what we call the core star, and that is our core, and what I call the divine core. And that's who we truly are, and that's our source. And very often, while we are able to live from our core in some aspects of our lives, we are limited in other aspects of our lives, depending on certain kinds of experiences that we've had.
Well, give us an example of, or maybe you can help people who are listening, of how to set up your life to live in it. You have that clear intention that you're connected to your Hara, your aura, your physicality, how that all that can come into oneness. I think that's what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, it can be kind of a complex process, you know. But first of all, is just being willing to explore energy, just your own energy bodies. You know, some people might play with certain kinds of experimenting. Can they feel the energies in their hands? Can they sense energy around them? You know, sometimes we talk about people's vibes, that we can pick up vibes from some people that we're attracted to, other people we might want to stay away from or keep our distance. So we do talk about energy in that way. But we really have to look at, you know, some of our early childhood experiences affect whether or not we feel free to live from our core essence. If I got hurt at a point in my life when I was in my full joy or just having a wonderful time as a child, and somebody, you know, whacks me in some way, then there may be a fear of getting hurt. Or I might think that I'm bad. There's something wrong with me, that person got upset with me. And so then say, on the third level of the field, which is about who we think we are, the mental level, our beliefs and often limited beliefs, then that our core star won't be able to radiate past that third level of the field. It'll hit a block there, and we'll hesitate to really show ourselves because we don't want to get hurt. We want to protect ourselves. So there's a way that you have to kind of become aware of what the limited beliefs might be and where our struggles might be, the challenges might be in our life, and then begin, as you become aware of them, begin to find ways to transform those beliefs so that you can live more fully from your essence.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, a lot of people are striving for that, and yet one of the, what happens, sometimes we're striving for it, but it's out there. We're looking for it out there. People, you know, like looking for those answers outside of ourselves. And you're talking about really this inner work and aligning with your aura and aura and all this is really inner work. And the answers aren't out there, but it reflects to us. It's the world's a reflection. And so I see it as you do your inner work, it'll start reflecting out there. You'll start that creating what you want in your life. What's your purpose?
Absolutely. And I can give you a personal example. When I was part of the teaching team initially when I was a trainee, and I just kept asking myself, why am I here? You know, I'm not as talented, or I can't sing, I can't dance, I can't play a musical instrument. I don't know that I belong here. Okay, that was my basic attitude, my belief. And so whenever I would show up for a team meeting, very often there wouldn't be a place for me. There literally would not be a chair for me in the room, you know, and then as I began to find my way, and feel like I had a place on the team, and I had my own gifts that I could bring to this team, then there was no more problem with having a chair for me in the room.
Interesting how the world reflects that.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You can laugh at it now. At the time, you're probably wondering, why didn't someone not put a chair here for me? Why isn't there a chair? Because we sort of into blame and projecting it's everybody else. When we set that up ourselves. If we don't feel like we're a part of things, there's not going to be a place for us. Well, we're going to take another a quick break, and we'll come back and talk more with Chiyomi Yoshida and Woman of Wisdom.
Dr. Bree Gibbs is a fourth-generation high priestess with the knowledge to raise your vibration and conscious creation. Offering a wide variety of services from goddess light and shamanic healing seminars to private reading sessions, Bree works with you so you too can stand in your own power. Isn't it about time you took your life into your own hands? For more information about Bree's services and products, visit silvergaia.net. That's silvergaia.net.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests. as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
The Earth is an ever-changing being. Goddess Light Shamanic Healer Bree Gibbs guides us through the ascending worlds and brings forth knowledge and truth. As a light creator, she is here to provide new information needed at this time in our evolution. Join Bree as she shares messages from guides, spirits, ascended masters, goddesses, and others. Tune in Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific for the Silver Gaia Show and live the authentic life.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm talking with Chiyomi Yoshida, who's giving a workshop at Women of Wisdom on February 18th. So, Chiyomi, I'd love for you to share your website and anything there that you have to offer for people.
Well, my website is chiyomiyoshida.com, and you can find quite a bit of information on there. If you're interested in any of the work that I offer at all. I just started on Facebook recently, and so I'm still learning about how that works. I'm a latecomer to technology.
Yeah, that's fine. So it's Chiyomi, Chiyomi, Yoshida.com. Okay, so we've been talking about this aspect of being a multidimensional being and finding that sacred selves, our sacred self and who we are in the world. What one of the aspects of this is that you're probably going to talk about at the workshop too is healing ourselves and how that helps heal the world and why is that necessary?
Well, it's necessary. Just look at the world. I mean, look at the planet and just climate change alone and the consequences that we're facing from the way we have treated our environment. And so the kinds of choices we make, the level of awareness and consciousness we have is going to be very important for the kinds of choices we're going to be making about our planet, the kind of future we want to create for ourselves and for all living beings. We're all connected. And so it's not just I'm making a choice for myself. It's when I make a choice for myself, I make a choice for the planet. And everything affects everything else. When I work on myself, when I do my inner work and try to clear as many blocks and try to raise my consciousness to a higher level and live from my core, then that brings that energy, that level of light and consciousness into our universe, into the planet, and influences things. For example, if a person has a belief that I'm not enough and that I don't really deserve to be loved the way that I would want to be loved, and they begin to work with that, then as they do their inner work and begin to transform that belief so that they begin to believe that they are indeed worthy of love, that they are a valuable person in this world, then that energy of love, that you become that love instead of just looking for it to come from outside, you become the love that's needed in the world. And then your presence in the world, your light, your love, helps to heal the world. If you're a healer, if you're a therapist, if you're a counselor, then you will be able to help your clients who come to you because they may suffer from the same issue of not feeling worthy, not feeling good enough. And because you have traveled that road, you have gone on that journey, your wound becomes the gift for your clients, for your friends, for your colleagues that you're with, and ultimately a gift for the planet. So is that kind of clear?
Yes, and that and so that wounding is to, you know, to really do that work of discovering kind of the whys of why you are who you are, you know, that what caused you to react now in your life, what's the core of what's behind how you react to things in the world. Because there's, you know, often usually from a wounding, you talked about it before, you know, that you have some trauma and it's that wounding. And and then why was that in your life? You know, to explore that, what was the cause of this? What's the core of this? But then where do I go from here, and how do I help others? Or perhaps, you know, finding the gift in that, because there's always reasons for everything that happens.
Right. Yeah, and I think that it's like a two-sided coin, you know, there's the wound, but there's also the gift once it's transformed. And, you know, I really also believe our spiritual contract or sacred contract that, you know, Carolyn Mace mentioned a number of years ago are also connected to our wound. That we make a contract in our before we incarnate about what we would like to help. We hear the suffering in the world, and we want to help. And so we incarnate with the purpose of helping the planet. And so we may come in with a wound, or basically that's the wound we're going to come into as we incarnate, that is one that many on the planet suffer. And ultimately, as this new being begins to ultimately do the work of healing that wound, that you're fulfilling your sacred contract and you're helping to heal yourself and the planet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's, I was wondering how that works. And finding that purpose, you know, that so in that wound can also you can find what was your purpose for being here. It's an interesting journey, and we're living here at these very interesting times. And we were talking about the environment and how, you know, how healing ourselves and being conscious of what we do and how it impacts the world. And we're, you know, I think we're all sitting in a little fear of, are we just going to go back 20 years because now we have people in power who don't believe in climate change, and, you know, they're going to take the regulations away. And what is that going to, you know, so I think that's bringing a lot of fear up for people. What's your sense of this happening? You know, cause I always think there's a reason for things, happening, and whether this is just going to be a kick in the butt so that we, really get working on clearing up the environment. I don't know.
Well, I think that's the question we face is, you know, what choices are we going to make? And you know, I think it was Einstein who said that the level of consciousness that created this problem is not the level of consciousness that can resolve it. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to shift to a higher level of consciousness. And so each of us individually has to do the work of raising our consciousness so that, you know, the whole planet can raise its consciousness and make choices from a higher plane. It's very challenging, and I don't think we know if we're going to make it or not. It's in our hands what we choose to do, and I think the work that groups like Women of Wisdom do to help nurture and nourish women's spirits and to bring greater and greater consciousness is what we need right now so much. It's coming from different pockets around the world, but we really need to focus on raising our consciousness so we can see how interconnected we are, how one decision affects everybody else, there's no such thing as me living by myself for myself, and my decisions only affect me. It just no longer is like that.
And if we raise our consciousness, we don't know the impact that has, and it can impact and change other people's mindsets that aren't seeing right now the environmental issues or the climate change, and you know, people change, and so we also have to be careful of projecting like they're never going to be able to see the light and change that, you know, to hold for that. Right. So, well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Tiomi, and so glad you're going to be at the conference this year.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, so Tiomi's given a workshop, Remembering Your Sacred Self, Embracing Who You Truly Are. It is Sunday, February 18th, same time as Judith Laxer, who is doing her workshop, Athena, Goddess of Wisdom for Our Time. Both are on Sunday, February 18th. And check it all out at the womanofwisdom.org website. Just look for the 2017 conference. There's a link there that has all the schedule. There's a link on conference registration information. And also all the conference information. You can just walk in the door for free and take part and, you know, shop in the market. There's a temple. You can get a reading, a healing. There's an art show. You can hang out and have coffee, tea. It doesn't cost to walk into the doors. And there's also volunteer opportunities and scholarships. So don't feel that you can't afford to come. Everyone is welcome. And just there's scholarships and applications for volunteers on our website. And so we welcome you to join us. We're probably the longest running women's spirituality conference, you know, since 1993. We've been providing a very unique, intimate setting. You don't have to come the whole weekend. You can come to just one event. You can come to two or three, or you can choose to come all weekend. It's all individually priced. You can create your own experience. So we welcome you to come to Seattle on February 16th through the 20th. Okay, we're at the end of our show, and I hope everybody has a great weekend. And we'll be back next week talking to more Women of Wisdom presenters.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today. Radio with Chris Stainis. We'll be right back.